As I was praying for this message and praying to ask God, what do you have on your heart for this Sunday? I had a message, this message that I'm preaching today, on my heart. I wrote it down, and it's called The Price of Breakthrough. And as I was preparing for it, I realized I am in the middle of a breakthrough that hasn't happened yet, that hasn't come to full conclusion yet. I do not know what the end of this breakthrough is that I'm walking through at the moment. So a week ago, I scratched the message and said, I'm not going to preach this because I'm in the middle of it. I can preach it once I'm through it, but I'm not ready for it yet. So I sat down and I wrote down some other thoughts that I had, and it was really shallow. And so I went back to God. I'm like, what should I preach? He's like, well, you got a message. Like, oh, what you doing? But you've got a message. So I'm back to preaching this message, and it's from my heart because I'm walking through it. So I'm excited to see what God is going to do with it, because I'm in the middle of a breakthrough that hasn't happened yet. And I want to share a few thoughts that I have with it. Is that all right with you guys? Awesome. Let me pray and then we'll get into it. Jesus, I want to thank you for what you're doing. I want to thank you, Father, for every single breakthrough in this room, online, for the people that are here, Father. Thank you for what you are doing, what you're capable of. And Father, help us to have the right heart, to have the focus on you, and not just the outcome, but have the focus on you. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, I don't know where you're at right now and if you need a breakthrough or if you don't. I just said I need a breakthrough, but I wrote down a couple of thoughts of what areas breakthroughs could happen in. There's people that need financial breakthrough. There's people that need relational breakthrough. Maybe you need a breakthrough at your workplace, in your business. Maybe you've been praying for someone to become Christian, whether that's a friend or a family member, and you need that breakthrough. Let me just see a show of hands. Who needs a breakthrough at the moment? All right, we've got a few people who need a breakthrough. I believe that breakthroughs are part of life. There's certain parts in our life or times in our life where we need a breakthrough. Whether you need it right now or not, it'll come sooner or later. And when we look at the Bible, there's quite a few people. And in fact, most of the stories that happen in the Bible are stories because some kind of breakthrough needs to happen. And the first thing that needs to happen for a breakthrough to happen is that we have a desire for a different reality. We need to have a desire for a different reality in order to start the process of a breakthrough. It's not just about overcoming a challenge. It's about a desire for a different reality. If we look at the Bible, there's Abraham. He really desired a different reality for his family. So he wanted an heir for his family. He wanted a son. He wanted someone to take the family name. The breakthrough was that his wife Sarah was not able to get pregnant. So there's a breakthrough that had to happen for that to become a reality. David wanted to see a different reality than the Israelites becoming slaves by the Philistines. So therefore, the breakthrough was that Goliath had to be slain. Daniel needed a different breakthrough, wanted a different reality than being eaten by lions. So the breakthrough was not getting eaten by lions, right? God wanted a different reality for you and for me than eternal hell. So he brought the breakthrough, Jesus, so that you and I can have eternal life through Jesus. Amen? The first step for us to have a breakthrough is the desire for a different reality. And what I would love to do right now from the get-go, if you've got a phone with you, something to write with, I want you to take a moment right now and write down, what is that reality that you desire? What is the breakthrough that you want to see in the world, where you want to see a different reality? B. Because the first part of us actually seeing a different reality is for us to desire it. Therefore, we need to be proactively writing it down and saying, God, this is what I'm going through right now. This is what I see. And we want to bring it before God to tell him this is the different reality. If we look at the Old Testament, there's Joshua who desired a different reality for his people because he wanted to bring them into the promised land, but there was a Jordan in the way. The river of the Jordan River was usually a really, really small river, but at the time of the year when they were there, it actually broke, it went over the river banks and was so big that you couldn't just walk through it. Therefore, he desired a different reality for God to perform a miracle so that they can go to the other side, and then in the end, end up in the promised land that the Israelites needed to go to. Now, once we understand that we need a desire for a different reality, and we've written it down, we've brought it before God, there is the very important thing, and that is that the desire for the different reality comes from the right source. So we need to desire for the right source. If we look at Abraham, he knew how to make babies. He just couldn't because Sarah wasn't able to get pregnant. So what Abraham did, he used his own skills and his own way of thinking and said, well, God prophesied that I'm going to have a baby, but clearly he needs help. Therefore, I'm going to go and do my own thing and take care of it because it is a prophecy. And he ended up getting a baby from a different woman, but it wasn't what God had intended for him. Now, I believe that you and I are very skilled people. And I believe that God very intentionally created us in a way that we can do something and produce an outcome. I believe that God intentionally created us in a way that we can bring breakthrough. But that breakthrough will not be lasting because the only lasting breakthrough that someone can bring is through God. So the right source is so, so crucial. I want to explain a concept to you that I heard from a guy named Paul Gibbs that he wrote a book on kingdom-centric Christians. And basically, this concept is that on one side, there are Christian-centric Christians. And Christian-centric, I'm going to go to the other side because that's where the Christian-centric Christians are, at least on my wall, not saying you guys are. The Christian-centric Christians are Christians that basically say, I believe that Jesus came, he died and rose again, and because of him, I have eternal life. Once I give my life to Jesus and I say, if I give him my sins, then I will have eternal life. Generally speaking, there's nothing wrong with that fact. The part that I struggle with is that it stops right there. It's not about giving Jesus my entire life and asking him to work through me to advance his kingdom on this earth. No, it's just about getting that golden ticket into heaven. Like, we will, if we make a decision for Christ and we stop right there, it's up to God whether we come into heaven or not, and I believe we do. But I believe that Jesus has brought a more advanced way of living to us, and that is the kingdom-centric way of life. The Christian-centric life, that's what Abraham did when he decided he wanted to take care of things himself. He said, I want to be blessed in what I do, where the kingdom-centric says, I want the blessing that God has. Here, I take care of it myself, and I ask God to bless it. We're here in the kingdom-centric. I believe that Jesus died and rose again for me. I believe that if he died for my sins and I give myself to him, that I will be in heaven with him and I will have eternal life. But it goes far beyond that, where I say, God, I want to give you my entire life and I want to bring your kingdom onto this earth. So if we have a life that is kingdom-centric, then it's all about how can I as I desire a break, a different reality, I focus my source on not what can I do, but what can God, the King, do through me to advance his kingdom. And I want to bring a story for you guys that I, when I heard this story, I thought this was absolutely incredible. It's a guy from our midst that made a decision with his wife together to fully live on the kingdom-centric side. So let's give it up for Amit as he comes up on stage.
Thanks. Actually, before I testify, Diane reminded me of something. Before Pat asked me to share this testimony, a few weeks before, actually, she couldn't sleep, and she wrote down this testimony, this exact testimony, and then she was able to sleep well. And when I told her, I'm able to testify about this topic, what we experienced, and she said, oh, wow, you know what? I have it already ready, the notes. So just a little bit credit to her. And so thank you so much. Yeah, so this is really a testimony that marked our relationship from the beginning when we got married in 2019. I was living in the Philippines, and I had a friend, Rahul, from India. And he planned with his friends to host evangelistic events in the Philippines. He planned to come with his team and a pastor's couple, Pastor Moses, and his wife, Sarojam. And the idea was that they would come and do all the events, and we would accommodate them. We do the connections, we do the groundwork, we connect them to the churches. But that's basically it from our side. And then when everything was announced, everything was planned, a few weeks before, he called me up and said, Amit, I cannot make it. I cannot come to the Philippines because I have to go through a surgery. And it's not possible. Could you take care of it? So this would mean like Diane and I, we would have to join all those events, go with them everywhere. And so this was really a bit shocking to me because there was one challenge that we faced. We just went through our wedding just a few months before. We just moved into our apartment recently. So we had huge expenses. We were recovering from them. And so I was still hesitating to say yes to it. So I explained my situation. And he's a very prophetic guy. He said, like, you know what? Before I called you up, I prayed and I felt that God is saying that the time is right for these events. And if you say yes to it, God will provide miraculously. Then I was still skeptic. And then we prayed. And during the prayer, I really felt like how peace entered my heart. And I said yes to it. And this was really a tough decision. And then Rahul, my friend, also donated something, part of the expenses, but it was way not there yet where we needed to be in a few weeks. And Diane and I, we were still praying about it. We didn't know what to, it really challenged us. And just within a few days, out of nowhere, my old clients started calling me up, saying things like, oh, we need to do this project and that project. Could you help us out with this? So all the money came together within a few weeks. And just a week before everything started, we had all the money together. Come on. And so this was really an amazing experience for us as newlywed couple. We were able to host a conference in a mountain area with 12 churches. And to those places, you can only reach by motorbike. There is no wide roads, and you have to travel for hours with the motorbikes to get there. And then we were able to minister to ethnic tribes. We experienced miracles and wonders. And you reach those places only by boat for hours. You're riding a boat, and you go along a river. And interestingly, this very place where you can reach it with the boat, the pastor we had with us, Pastor Moses, he saw it years before in his dream, but he was never in the Philippines. And then we were able to minister to a hospital, in a psychiatric center, in a church, in a workplace ministry. And all those experiences were possible because, we just said yes. And this friend, Rahul, actually, he He became my friend here in ICF Zurich. I just got to know him here because he was on his honeymoon in Switzerland. And he got to know this church because he watched Leo preaching in English on God TV in India. That's why he got to know it. And that's how everything was linked and connected. And interestingly, yeah, I would say like this is because of the generosity of our church that made it possible that the sermons of this place can be even telecasted so far places like India and make this possible.
Come on. I mean, thank you so much, man. Hey, what an incredible story. Thank you so much, guys, for opening your hearts to do what God is asking you to do. And I think that if we decide for the right source, if we say, I'm not doing it out of my own desire or of my own strength, but I do it out of God's strength, then this is what can happen. Where you say yes before you know what the outcome is going to be, and then you say yes and God provides in ways that he hadn't thought about it. So the first one is we need a desire for a different reality. The second one is we need a desire for the right source, and the source needs to be Jesus. And the third one is we need a desire for the right environment. And I've got an illustration, brought an illustration. Thanks, guys, for bringing that up. I've got an illustration here for you guys. And I'd love to know if you guys know what this is. This is fairly easy now that everything's on stage. But what do you reckon this is? Somebody shout it out. It is a guitar string. That's right. What is a guitar string made for? I can't undo this now. What is a guitar string made for? All right, for sound, it's made to be put into a guitar, correct? Can we do other things with this guitar string other than putting it into a guitar? Yes, you can. Like? Bind somebody, put something together, like a present, or use it as a wash, like put laundry on it, right? Use it as a laundry boot. You can do a lot of things with it, but what this thing is designed for and what the creator of this made this guitar string for is for a guitar. And though we can use it for other things, once it's in the guitar, it actually does what it's designed to do, which means that if we, I've already prepared this, so I don't have to do this here, but if we put this guitar string in the guitar, then basically what happens is you put the guitar string on two sides of the guitar. The first side is this side right here, and the second side is the side up here. The first side right here on a guitar is called the body. And if you know anything about the Bible, then you know that in 1 Corinthians, God actually talks about, or Paul actually talks about, the body of Christ, and that we are, as Christians, we are the body of Christ. And who is the head of the body of Christ? It's Jesus. Jesus is the head of the body. So if the guitar string is designed to be plucked in, rooted in the body, it is being tightened in the head. And I believe that's exactly what we need to do as Christians. We need to be the environment that we need to be placed in is we need to be placed in the body of Christ. That's where we belong. That's where God has placed us in. And then from there, we are tightened in Jesus, in the head. Now, here's the interesting part. I've got six strings on here. Well, five. And then I just put the bottom one in. Now, the first ones sound like this. They sound good, right? The six, can you hear that? Doesn't sound good, does it? It's because the string, though it is attached to the body and it's attached to Jesus, it doesn't have the tightness that it needs yet to sound the way that it's designed to sound. Which means that if we are truly in Jesus and we desire him to be the right source and him to be the right environment, we need to let him give him the opportunity and possibility. And I need to put this in correctly for it to work. There you go. We need to give him the chance to tighten up and to not tighten up in religion or whatever, but to actually tune ourselves to what He wants us to be, to become the person that He wants us to be. Now, here's the cool thing. Can you hear this? It sounds all right, right? It sounds like it's already a string, right? Well, let's see what it sounds like in the whole of it. Can you hear that? Ooh, that's not good, is it? It's because it's there. It is plugged in, but it's not fully tuned to where it needs to be yet. So I need to get stretched until I'm at that place. Am I there yet? Not quite. Let's see. I've got a tuner here. That helps me a little bit. We're almost there. That sounds better, doesn't it? So once we're in it, once we're attached to the body and attached to the head, you know what can happen? We can actually start to play something that actually sounds really good, doesn't it? So, you get what I mean, right? Like, if we choose the right environment, if we are people that are plucked in the body of Christ, and we attach ourselves to Jesus and give Him the opportunity to tune us to where it needs to be, we can actually play really good music, not by ourselves, but with other people together. So if we desire breakthrough, and trust me, I do, then we need to find the right reality. We need to find the right source. And we need to an environment where God can do His thing. This is the right environment. Small group, people that walk with us are the right environment. Your spouse, my wife is one of the people in my life that always helps me to bring me closer to Jesus. Those are the environments that we need to choose when it comes to aligning ourselves with God and finding a breakthrough. So my question is, what's your environment? Is your environment the right environment for Jesus to do His thing, for Jesus to bring the breakthrough that He needs to bring? I said in the beginning that I'm not done with my breakthrough yet. I'm not at that place where the breakthrough has fully happened yet. 2012, I became a diabetic out of nothing. I had a cold for a couple of weeks. I didn't feel very well. And then all of a sudden, I felt so bad that I had to go to the hospital or to the doctor, and they diagnosed me with diabetes. And apparently, I've never won anything in my life, but apparently, if you have a cold, and that cold, there's a 1 in 100,000 chance that it attacks your pancreas and you become a diabetic as a result of it. Never won anything in my life, so go me. At early 20s, that was it was life-changing for me, because I had to change my entire life. I had to, all of a sudden, I never even taken a headache pill for headaches. And all of a sudden, I was dependent on medication. And trust me when I say that at that time and up until now, I have a desire for a different reality. I have a desire for not waking up in the middle of the night because my blood sugar is acting up. I have a desire to, before I go on stage, I give myself some sugar so I don't lose sugar up on stage. I have a desire for a different reality that I'm not dependent on medication. Trust me when I say that I know that God's the only one that can heal me. And I want God to be the only one who can heal me. And I am placing myself in the right environment. I absolutely, like, I'm here, I'm in the small group. I'm not saying I'm doing everything right, but those things, I'm there. And yet, God hasn't brought that breakthrough yet. In fact, this weekend, something happens that honestly, like, I didn't think, like, this weekend was the worst when it comes to my diabetes. It just wasn't a great weekend. And it taught me again, or showed me again, how far away I am from that breakthrough. At least it feels like I'm far away from that breakthrough. And yet I had a vision, or a prophetic thought, or whatever you want to call it, a couple weeks ago, where I thought, Pat, I'm going to heal you. That's the thought that came to mind. I texted it to my small group. And I mean, it hasn't happened yet. And in fact, this past weekend was really bad. So what if breakthrough doesn't happen? Because I want breakthrough to happen. I believe everything I just said. And yet, what if breakthrough doesn't happen? As a good friend of mine, I highly respect him. He's a business owner. And right now, he's going through a Sabbath year in his business. Not because he has that much money, although his business goes really well. He basically looked at the Bible, and the Bible talks about that for 6 years, you should take care of the field and use the field. And then your seventh year, you should rest it so that nutrition can come up again. And he had the feeling that one part of his business should rest for a year so that nutrition can come back into it. And he picks it up after the year. And I was so moved by this story, because he, during this year, he's a prayer, like, not even during this year, just he, like, for the entire time that he has a business, he's a prayer warrior. He trusts in God. He definitely has the right desire for a different reality, has the right desire for the right source, for God to move him. And he has the right desire for the right environment. He really intentionally places himself in that environment. And he's got a prayer list that he uses to pray for his business and for his personal life. And there's breakthroughs on that list that he's had for years. And this year, he's now 6 months, 7 months into that Sabbath year, he went back onto that list and said, some of those things that are wrote on here are actually, I feel like, not good for me. I've said that they're breakthroughs, but if these things actually happen, I don't think they'll be good for me. And I was so amazed by this story, where he says, look, the breakthroughs that I've written down might not actually be good for me. Now, I don't know what the breakthrough is that you need. All I know is that we have an amazing God who takes care of us. An amazing God who doesn't even need to do this. He just, and it's done, right? I mean, it's that easy for him. He doesn't even need this, and it's done. He can heal my diabetes in not even a word. I believe that. And yet it hasn't happened yet. And there's a chance that it never will. So where's my heart at? Where's your heart at when it never happens? What happens if the breakthrough doesn't happen? I'm still going to invest. I'm going to surround my life with the right people. And I'm still going to believe until the very end that God can heal me. That God can bring the breakthrough that you're praying for years. Because God can. If we look at the Bible, there's in a lot of stories, there's different times where God said something, and then it took a while for it to happen. And then there's some things, you can read it up in Hebrew, where they believed and they never saw it coming until they were dead. So if God never brings the breakthrough until I die, I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to put myself in that position to praise Him. So let's stand up, guys. And I want us, as we go back into worship, I want to ask you this question. Is the reality that you want to see aligned with what God wants to see? Is God the right, the real source in your life? Or is there another source? If you're really honest, there's actually another source. Do you place yourself in the right environment where God can tune you to where it needs to be? And even if it doesn't happen, will you still stand up and praise Him?
Hello, we loved having you today with us and hope that the match really spoke to you.
Yeah, we would love to hear more from you. What moves you? Do you have questions? So just click on icf.ch/connect and there you find out more about who Jesus is and also what makes us and what is behind the ICF family.
You know, everything what you see here has to do with a lot of volunteers. They're giving in their time and their energy, their gifts and their talents. And I know without their finances, everything will not be possible.
Yeah, and this is our invitation for you to participate with your finances and support what you just see, because we have so many resources here that is needed, and with your finances you can be a part of it and make a difference.
And by the way, just subscribe it, wrote the comments in the comments. And by the way, we really do believe we have a good message for a lost and broken world, and even though for people they knowing God for many, many, many years, we can be a blessing for a lot of people just to share the best message ever.
Yeah, so see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.